Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Wattier.
And I'm Tommy Welling, and you're listening to the Fasting for Life podcast.
This podcast is about using fasting as a tool to regain your health, achieve ultimate wellness, and live the life you truly deserve.
Each episode is a short conversation on a single topic with immediate actionable steps. We cover everything from fat loss and health and wellness to the science of lifestyle design.
We started Fasting for Life because of how fasting has transformed our lives, and we hope to share the tools that we have learned along the way. Hey everyone, welcome to the Fasting for Life podcast. My name is Dr. Scott Wattier. I'm here as always with my good friend and colleague, Tommy Welling. Good evening to you, sir.
Hey Scott, how are you?
Doing fantastic, man. This is a topic tonight that I can absolutely get fired up about. It is something that I partake in personally on date nights and holidays and special occasions. And it's something that a lot of people have asked us about, and we realize that we have actually not talked about it yet.
Yeah. I also partake with discretion. And
of course.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of questions and kind of surprised that it's taken us
30 episodes, what, 40 episodes?
Yeah,
wherever we're at.
to address the topic. So,
yeah. Shout out and appreciation for all you listeners. Really cool milestone that we just hit. We just hit 40,000 downloads to our podcast. I don't know what that means. We don't have any sponsors. This isn't monetized. We get on, we talk about subjects that we've experienced or questions that were asked. And sometimes we get a little researchy and nerdy, and other times it's more anecdotal and just, you know, talking from case study or observation or personal experience. But 40,000 downloads. So much love and appreciation and gratitude to everybody that is listening, because we had no idea what to expect, but definitely blown away by the response. So thank you to every one of you out there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been it's really cool, and it's great to hear the feedback and
Get
the questions and hear the stories and just some amazing stories out there too, and just, you know, kind of letting people see the other side, because there's just so much misinformation and fear out there and things like that.
Yeah. And just to people that have been through it, that are on the journey, that are going there with you, we want it to be conversational, and it's definitely been really cool. So much love and appreciation again. And tonight we're going to go over a topic that we realized, like we had mentioned, that we hadn't talked about in all of the months. And it came in through our free Fast Start Guide and mini masterclass. That if you guys have been listening to the podcast for a while, or if you're new, you go to our website, thefastingforlife.com. It's a free fast start guide. It's 6 simple steps to put fasting into your day-to-day life starting today, along with a 6-video free course. It's about 20 minutes long. Kind of walks you through all the steps. And Kimberly left us a message in the course relating to having a glass of wine with dinner, and is that allowed and is that okay? So tonight we're going to talk about alcohol and the physiological kind of component to it, but then also the nutritional component to it, the calorie component, and then how it can really fit into your day-to-day life. Because what we want is we want you to live life to the fullest and your fasting plan to be a part of it, not the other way around.
Yeah, we want the fasting to be to help you get to you know, where you want to be, your goals, your health goals, but other goals in life as well. It should be part of it. Life should be at the center, and you know, alcohol is going to come up, you know, special occasions, you know, social aspects, things like that. And so, you know, we want to empower you guys to know how to work it into your fasting plan, and you know, how to make good choices with it as well. And I think her question was specifically with respect to a 1-meal-a-day type of plan. So we'll address that as well.
Yep. So I'm comfortable with 1-day total water fast, then OMAD the other days, which is 1 meal a day. But I like an occasional glass of red wine with the OMADs on the days that she has dinner, especially on the weekends. Is that okay? And my answer is 100%. As long as we're talking about not the extremes, right? we're talking about, yeah, I mean, when we go on date night, my wife, I'll go out, have a couple of maybe an IPA while we're waiting to get sat at the restaurant, and then maybe a glass of wine with dinner on the golf course, or family outings, you know, at the community pool, we'll, you know, have a Truly or two, or a White Claw. Yeah, I admitted it. Don't comment, Tommy. I see you snickering. It's fine. I've seen you with them too.
No, what's the saying? There ain't no laws when you're with the claws.
Yeah, like right. That.
I've seen some t-shirts.
Right. So just for a disclaimer, we're not talking about the extreme situations, but yeah, I mean, of course we want to be able to live life and enjoy it. So holidays, weekends, I know, you know, glass of red wine at night after a long day, there's some health benefits to it as well. And there's some research out there that shows it. We're not going to go into that detail tonight. But the question I thought was really cool to kind of give just an overview, you know, Tommy, you and I were talking about, of the physiology of alcohol. So, you know, what it does and how it relates to fasting for me was a big part, to the point where when I would go out to dinner, I wouldn't get a full meal and have alcohol because I would feel awful. Mm-hmm. Because I had insulin resistance, which was not allowing me to lose the weight, keep it off, and see my metabolic numbers improve on my blood work. So, you know, just relating to that feeling, you know, alcohol has a physiological effect that really, you know, depresses everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think what you just hit on there, is the reason why a lot of people, they feel terrible the next day. They kind of have this hangover cycle. And you know, it may start back in college or during the younger days, but it can, you know, travel into 20s and 30s and 40s and beyond that too. Where you're drinking and, you know, maybe moderate or maybe even heavy, along with some heavier eating as well. And then you're just waking up the next day, just feeling just completely awful. And then kind of jumping right back into the cycle and making matters worse by going, well, I really just want to feel better. What do I need to eat now to feel better? Trying to stay on some sort of eating, you know, meal schedule, and really just makes matters worse because your stomach's already not feeling great, and then you're weighed down by all the insulin and as well as the alcohol, undigested food, and then you just bring more things on top of that. And while like you said, all of the cells in the body are already, you know, having been slowed down by all of the alcohol, it's a depressant and it's working on the liver, the stomach. Mm-hmm. Just the brain everywhere in the body, slowing it down.
So we're just going to give some, like you just did, Tommy, there is just some basic overview of things that we've seen and experienced and things we've seen in our clients is, you know, the insulin resistance directly relates to the body having to process that, which can lead to, you know, cytokine creation, which starts the inflammatory pathway. You know, and it can also promote the insulin resistance or that clogging of that phase two liver. For me, I would always wake up between 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. And you know, I would just be awake. My body would be like, yep, I'm awake. And that typically means liver, or detox at that time of day, if you're looking at the more wellness and holistic side of things. So, it definitely can have an effect on your sleep cycle, which if you have insulin resistance, the importance of sleep is crucial. If you want the fastest way to lose weight without spending a dollar other than putting fasting into your life is get 8 hours of sleep a night and stay hydrated and you will lose weight. Like, because sleep is so important. Yeah. It's because it's so important on that cortisol and circadian rhythm and balancing everything out, but it also, high levels of cortisol over long periods of time will mimic the same effects on the body as insulin resistance. So alcohol does have an effect on that too. Alcohol sleep after having alcohol is not as restful, and that's been proven. And then there's always the last piece, you know, of alcohol in related to food. If you're not really strict with your plan or if you're not focused on the plan or really have a plan, I know the inhibition of, you know, eating things you normally don't eat and snacking goes, you know, just increases.
Right. Because, you know, one of the big things that we know about alcohol is that it lowers our inhibitions, right? It's working on the prefrontal cortex, you know, kind of our executive powers in our brain, what gives us all our rules and our self-governing. So it's bringing those activities down. And so, you know, that plays right along into, you know, whatever meal plan or diet or whatever else that you're following or your fasting window. And then all of a sudden it can be easy to justify. You say, well, I'm already having a drink. Maybe I need something to snack on too. And then your inhibitions are lower, you know, and then you're in a social environment. And so all of a sudden you're eating when you didn't plan to be. And so that can become a slippery slope as well.
Yeah. And this is really just kind of diving into the, you know, and again, thank you, Kimberly, for the question, making us realize we haven't talked about it. So the answer to her question was, yeah, absolutely. You know, if you're on a weight loss journey and trying to lose weight and you're doing it through using the tried and true art of fasting, then there's some things you should be aware of in terms of what the alcohol turns into in the body in terms of calories, because typically people will use caloric intake, calorie intake, and the scale as the guide, right? So the alcohol nutrition is kind of tricky because you don't really realize what you're intaking, especially if you're ordering off the specials menu at the local restaurant, the drink special menu with all the fun, sugary, colorful things that are on there.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not actually screaming at you about how many calories you're ordering and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, even just a light beer being, you know, 120 calories, let alone, you know, what do you like, a double IPA?
Yeah.
Yeah, how many calories is that?
Anywhere between 250 to 300.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that can throw a wrench in things pretty quick.
Two of those, right? Two of those is 600. I mean, two of those is a meal that my wife eats.
Right. I mean, that can really throw you off, especially if you say, well, you know, now I'm kind of hungry and I'm at a restaurant. Why don't I order something on top of that? Well, all of a sudden your OMAD just became, you know, an additional meal or meal and a half.
Hey, fasting fam. Want to let you know about an incredible company that we've partnered with, AquaTrue.com. Promo code fasting for life to receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. These are not your old school pitcher filters or your refrigerator filters. We're talking about a proprietary 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process. Their countertop purifiers work with no installation or plumbing, which if you've priced those whole home water filtration systems, you know exactly what I'm talking about. These incredible countertop versions, they do have one under sink mounting model as well, but they remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters, like I mentioned, and they're specifically designed to combat this new group of chemicals that the Environmental Working Group has done a deep dive on, these forever chemicals called PFAS or PFASs. These are in 45% of our U.S. tap water. 45%. These things can lead to endocrine system disruption, certain types of cancers, liver toxicity. And I'm so glad that there's now a countertop affordable version of this incredible technology. So as we fast, we know that water, outside of a little black coffee and tea, is the only thing that we drink. So if we're trying to get the biggest bang for our buck, we're trying to increase autophagy, allow our bodies to heal, shed the weight, get healthy, reverse disease, then why not give it the absolute best quality water that you can? So AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. It even makes a great gift, like I mentioned, my aunt and uncle. Today, as one of our loyal listeners, if you support them, you're supporting us. You're going to get 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to aquatrue.com, that's AQUATRU.com, and enter code fasting for life, FASTINGFORLIFE. That's 20% off any of the AquaTrue water purifiers at aquatrue.com.
Right, right. And then, so we talked about beer, and then the 7 calories per gram. You did some quick math on the fly when we were kind of talking through this. So we want to talk about what that equates to in the body and how quickly it can add up. But, you know, a house pour, 5 ounces. Some house pours are now 6 or 9 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 120 to 180 calories. A hard seltzer, the Trulies, the White Claws, those are 100 cals a piece. Who really knows what's in them, though? They're so new. Restaurant margarita, 250 to 500.
Yeah, that's a killer right there, especially where we are here in Texas.
Yep. Or you get the big giant margarita, then you have the Corona flipped upside down with the little sidecar, right? Yeah, I don't know what those are called, but
put that with some chips and queso, and you could really be in for a rough time.
Right. So it adds up. So if you've got a plan, you know, I know I have a couple of people that I work with that in not a formal setting, but kind of coach on the side. And, you know, they'll do Monday through Friday intermittent workouts and all that. And then on the weekends, they'll do a time restricted eating window, more of like an intermittent fast. They'll skip breakfast, skip lunch, and then they'll do like a dinner and drinks out that night or something like that. Mm-hmm. And as here's the catch all is, if you're getting the results, then it's fine. But if you're not, and you're doing more than the one glass with dinner, or it's more prevalent, or more, it's causing you to have the inhibition go down and you're eating more snacky foods and you have less willpower, then it might be something you want to try to limit to, you know, having and looking forward to it in your schedule rather than just kind of having it come up on a whim.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That can keep you from going down those slippery slopes or letting the eating window expand when you didn't want to.
100%. I get the crunchy. I like the crunchy things. I like the chips and the popcorns and the, you already mentioned the
chips and queso.
Chips and queso. Like, I like the crunchy, salty stuff. So, I know lately when we go out on date night, we'll either split an entree or just have a couple of drinks and an appetizer. And I wake up feeling great. I'm still on my plan. Numbers are moving in the right direction. I don't see those big fluctuations. So it's definitely been a learning experience, but it makes sense when you start looking at it.
Yeah, I love that too. At this point, when I'm on date night, I'm pretty much about half of the food intake that I was maybe a year and a half ago. And so, like you said, you know, like splitting an appetizer, I might get, you know, a soup or something small, or, you know, kind of just a side that I really want, and not an entree. And, you know, I feel a lot better about it.
So when we're talking about your plan, you know, the way we use fasting, especially if you're starting with the fast start guide, is to really push the intermittent fasting window, you know, to get you guys to 20, 22, 24 hours. And one of the things we always say about fasting is it's not a punishment for what you've done, or reparations for what you've done, or preparation for what you're going to do in terms of what you're going to eat and drink. Right, Tommy? So in terms of
it's not a fine, it's not a citation.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not a savings account either. I mean, you can, you know, I feel great fasting a little bit more, you know, going into a trip or a vacation or something like that, or coming off of one. But at the same time, it psychologically, it should not be a punishment or a prepayment.
Yep. So the eating windows in your plan. So, you know, drink swaps, calorie offset, you know, we talked about insulin and how you feel the next day. If you have gone out and there's been an event, and then the next morning you wake up and you crave that breakfast, right? You get the stack of pancakes and the juice and whatnot. And then that turns into the lunch, the late lunch. And then that turns into the, you know, I'm tired. Let's just order out for dinner. Next thing you know, you're back on your plan on Monday going, what in the heck just happened? And you actually have undone all of the great work that you did earlier this week. So really the mastery of it comes into sticking to your windows. And like you just mentioned, kind of planning going in and coming out of an event or a holiday, vacation, ceremony, whatever it is where the alcohol is going to be a part of the plan. Or just like she said, just, you know, on the weekends, likes to relax with a glass of wine and dinner, like perfect.
Yeah, perfect. And, you know, we've had a few people that have sent us messages, or we did plans for, and they talked about, you know, maybe like a 4 or 5 p.m. dinner with maybe a 7 or 8 p.m. glass of wine. And so, you know, what we would encourage them to do was bring the two closer together so that you don't really feel like you have these two bigger intake windows, because those can lead to more intake and ingestion than you'd like. So, you know, your 4 or 5 p.m. dinner can become longer because you know you're looking forward to this drink 3 or 4 hours later. And then all of a sudden when you have that drink, maybe you're feeling a little snacky at that point too. And all of a sudden you've had a whole lot more calories than you originally planned on. So bring the two closer together.
Yep. I like it. And then the drink swaps thing too is good. You know, we talked about a couple where you could, you know, the IPA, the heavier beer compared to a light beer compared to a 100 calorie, I don't know. Are they malt beverages, or am I going back to the days of like Mike's Hard Lemonade? What are the
like the Trulies?
Yeah. Oh, the hard seltzers. There you go. Yeah. If you're doing, you know, a margarita, you can ask for a skinny margarita. If you typically do something with soda, you can ask for soda water, or stay away from the sugary add-ins and things like that. Because if you are going to have a couple of drinks, then yeah, it adds up a lot quicker. But there are opportunities out there to kind of swap those things out too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. One action step for the topic of alcohol and fasting. One thing I will mention before we get to the action step is, yes, alcohol breaks a fast. We've gotten this question. Mm-hmm. Anything outside of water, black coffee, tea, any kind of, you know, creamers, breakfast, you know, we have an episode on creamers and like those little keto packets and mocha packets and, you know, electrolyte drinks and boost drinks and all those things. Typically, we just say if it's on a fasting day, stay away from it and stick to the water, carbonated waters, and then the black coffee and unsweetened tea.
Mm-hmm. Keep it simple. So for your action step for this, I'm going to encourage you to look at the alcohol that you do consume, and then find one or two spots where you can make a better choice, you can optimize. So if it's outside of your eating window, bring it closer in. Or if there's a certain drink that you have that's particularly high calorie that you enjoy, you know, find a way to just, you know, have a little less of it, or make a smart change to it. Make it a skinny, like you said,
yep.
Or something along those lines. Make a couple of swaps.
Perfect. Awesome. So Tommy, I think we'll wrap up tonight. If you guys are new to the podcast, go ahead and check out our website, thefastingforlife.com. There's the free fast archive, the free mini masterclass. Give us a shout out. We love the questions. We're going to continue to compile those, put them into Q&As. We've done some Q&A episodes in the past, got a lot of good response. So much love and appreciation for breaking the 40,000 mark again to each and every one of you. And Tommy, next time we go out, first round's on me.
All right. Cool. Looking forward to it. Thank you, sir.
Have a good night.
All right. You too. Bye.
So, you've heard today's episode, and you may be wondering, where do I start? Head on over to thefastingforlife.com and sign up for our newsletter, where you'll receive fasting tips and strategies to maximize results and fit fasting into your day-to-day life.
While you're there, download your free Fast Start Guide to get started today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Fasting for Life.